SRN.
Blake saw society's true face. Chose to be a parody of it. A joke. I heard joke once. Man goes to doctor, says he's depressed. Life seems harsh and cruel. Says he feels all alone in threatening world. Doctor says treatment is simple. The great clown Pagliacci is in town. Go see him. That should pick you up. Man bursts into tears. But doctor, he says, I am Pagliacci. Good joke. Everybody laugh. Roll on snare drum. Curtains.
So the bartender lived. The bartender never gets killed.
And my name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
What about you, Peggy Sue?
I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. I'll find him for $3, but I'll catch him and kill him for $10.
What is it you want us to do?
I want to talk to Samson. Fly me to the moon like that pit salad cramp.
Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle.
I admire your luck, Mr.
Call me Snake.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso.
Hey, welcome to Cinema Crespo Diso, episode 79. 79! So exciting. So sweet. 79 episodes in. How many more to go? We'll find out. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sikagra. And Drew.
What up, bro?
How's it going, dude?
It's going.
Cheers, sir. Cheers to you.
Nice.
I got a beer. You're not drinking beer?
Nope, not drinking beer.
Damn, it's not podcasting with someone's drinking. I read that somewhere.
Is that what you read?
Maybe. Or maybe I wrote it. I'm not sure.
Or maybe you heard it.
I mean, if you write something and then you read it.
Technically, you read it somewhere.
Just, you can tell people, yeah, I read it somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Just you don't have to let them know that you're the author of said.
I mean, I got to cite my sources.
Well, I mean, if you want them to be credible, yes.
Interesting. I thought I found a loophole for a second there.
That's all credibility, bro.
You
can say anything, mm-hmm. but if you're not credible, no one's going to believe you. Well, actually, that's a lie. A lot of uncredible people are saying really stupid things on the news all the time, and the country is believing them, so.
Yeah. Funny, that sounds like more like an Outrageous episode or even a Dr. Drew's Two Cents. Maybe you should do one about the, why don't you ever do one about your Outrageous? Maybe you could do a Dr. Drew's.
My Outrageous?
Just one episode of your, let people know what your Outrageous are so they can see the...
The hate inside.
just
the fiery inferno of hatred that burns inside my soul.
Just pop the top of the box just a little bit and let people take a peek in and see what's brewing under there, under the surface. Some
awful things going on inside there. Yes. Yes. I contemplate genocide on a daily basis, my friend.
Hooliganism on a mass scale. Well, we're just starting episode 79, and we got a lot to do, a lot to talk about. We got movie news. I got a couple questions on the Twitter, on the Facebook. I got you know what though? I checked before the show. Where's that Billy Dee question at, yo?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe he's lost in the fourth dimension.
If you're listening to us and you're from the fourth dimension and you happen to see a big screaming bearded face flying through the cosmos, that's our friend Billy Dee. Please let him know we're looking for him. Send him our way.
Yeah.
Because, man, that would be, yeah.
Cause he Come is. On, Bill, we miss you.
You're wearing your shirt.
Yeah, of course, dude, it's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Every Sunday. I wear this shirt every Sunday.
The Sunday Billy shirt. He really does. It's quite hysterical.
I mean, I said it, and then after I said it, I figured I'd just fucking do it. Why the hell not?
Why not? I mean, yeah. Now it's like a baseball thing where they wear the same jock strap every day when they keep getting hits, you know?
Every Sunday I gotta wear my Billy Dee shirt.
Yeah, every Sunday we're knocking it out of the park, so you gotta keep wearing that shirt. When you stop wearing that shirt, it's all gonna fall apart. Oh, it's gonna be terrible. So before that happens, and while we have the World Cup getting ready to play in the background here.
Oh yeah, it starts in 11 minutes.
Hopefully it won't distract us too much. You know, we'll see what happens.
Go,
what happened? Just minutes of silence, just background music as we sit there and we're just watching. Oh, messy. And then people a year from now listening to this show, we all know what happened in the World Cup. We don't give a shit. Let's start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Let's get the show started here. Let's get that baby warmed up. All right. Every week we do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. You can check them out at chriscrespo.com. That's where I catalog all the picks. Been doing it now for a couple of years, ever since I was on SBK Live on their Monday nights. And now it keeps on going. Got years worth of stuff. And July 1st, they just took a whole bunch of stuff down.
Sweet.
But that's why we have the verification process. Drew?
All right, Chris.
Are you good to go? Oh, yeah, that's right.
This movie.
We have no guests, so I got to figure it out.
This movie is from 2010.
Recent movie, okay.
It's rated R.
Ooh, it's for the kids, okay.
1 hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, all right, so economical.
You rated it 4 stars.
Ooh. I wonder if that's a 3.5 or a 4.5 type of situation.
The average from over 1 million ratings is 2.9.
Oh, so I like it more than most. Okay.
Dispatched to a small Italian town to await further orders.
Oh, this is very timely. The American?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or as I like to call it, Mr. Butterfly.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Because he's got a fucking butterfly tramp stamp.
Oh, that butterfly stuff is weird.
Tramp stamp.
That's another 3.5 scenario. 3.5 out of 5. I would definitely, in that, because of Netflix algorithm thing, I would give that more of a 4 out of 5 than a 3 out of 5 because I love the aesthetics of the film. Mm-hmm. It's great acting. George Clooney is great. And the reason I mentioned that it's timely is because the director is this fellow, Anton Corbijn.
Anton Corbijn.
That's how I pronounce it.
I don't know.
It's like Corbijn or some shit like that.
Name is Corbijn.
Corbijn. He's started with music videos, I think. He just got into films recently with a movie about, I think it was a singer for Joy Division.
Okay.
Wasn't that? It's a movie called Control, which is supposed to be really good. I haven't seen it, though, obviously, because I'm not too sure who the subject of the movie is.
Yeah.
But it's very, very well-done movie. What's his name? Curtis something? Ian Curtis?
I have no idea.
Yeah. And then his second movie was The American right there, which it's a really good movie. I like it a lot. It has a great style. It's one of them slower-paced movies, more European sensibility, which I like a lot, which then I understand why. I understand why this movie has a 2.9 overall
rating.
Because
it's slow.
It's slow.
And there's really not a lot going on.
There's only a few action scenes. It's more about, you know, Clooney's character in repose
and
some
his,
scenes.
And his butterfly
His tramp butterfly
stamp.
Stuff. And
butterfly
how,
tramp stamp.
And he's got like a mission that he's got to do, but you're not really told what it is. But it, really, in the end, it's not...
Yeah.
It's not very complicated.
No,
or,
it
you
isn't.
Know. And then the very end
And there
movie,
are some twists, too.
There's a twist or two, but I felt like, I remember when I watched it, I was like, I saw all the twists coming.
Yeah.
All of them. So that's why that it didn't really get to like the 4 stars out of 5 for me, technically. But for terms of the algorithm, so I can get more movies that are in like that style, I did 4 out of 5 instead of 3 out of 5. But it's really, really good movie. Really enjoy it. Anton Corbijn, his third movie. We've been seeing a trailer now forever and ever. A Most Wanted Man.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, the Jean Le Carré. What's his name? Jean Le Carré.
A slow burn, intense spy thriller.
Yeah, it's one of those trailers with all the quotes, riveting to the edge of your seat thriller. I mean, it's the most basic of. You say the same things about every movie. You know, I saw the same words in front of Night Moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slow burn. You know, it's all the same thing over and over and over. But he directed that, so I'm very interested in seeing how that turns out. The American is a really good movie. That's a good Netflix pick, I feel, and good job, Drew. All right. So why don't we get into that the box office recap for the weekend here.
The box office review?
The box office rehash.
Well, starting off at number 5 this week, we have How to Train Your Dragon Dose. Made 5.8 mil, total 152, budget of 145.
All right, pretty
good. It's still in the top 5 after 5 weeks, so I guess that's good.
Well, yeah, well, because there's not really any other family movies out right now.
Maleficent's still out, Earth to Echo.
Well, Earth to Echo, yeah, that one's kind of full on deaf ears a little. Maleficent's been out longer than How to Train Your Dragon, I think, isn't it?
7 weeks.
7 weeks, yeah.
It's at number 8 this week.
So, I mean, there's still... so it's really only a handful of movies that's geared toward the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
How to Train Your Dragon 2, foreign take of $197 million so far. So it's at just about $350 million worldwide. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. When you take into consideration the marketing, that budget, it's kind of right now, it's just a little over, just into the green. It's just past
definitely not as good as the last one.
Yeah.
At least monetarily.
Last one cost a little less and actually has been making more money. So, not all sequels are always going to be doing better than the predecessor, as opposed to
the number four movie, 22 Jump Street, which made an additional $6.7 million for a total of $171 on a budget of $50.
God damn, $171.
That's a lot of money for such a small budget.
No, a $50 million budget. And you know what? Another $80 million international, which is now, that's for movies like this, you know, we always say it's about the international audience, blah, blah, blah. But that's only for certain
movies.
Yes, exactly. Something like this, an action comedy that is very, this is a very American movie. Yeah. You know, comedy is very culture specific anyway. It's hard to translate. That's why we don't watch, you know, Chinese comedies that often.
Or Indian
comedy.
Get it.
We don't get it. It's just, you know, different cultures, right? But still, $80 million international. That's just a little cherry on the top there that Sunday and puts them at $250 million worldwide on that $50 million budget. All hail Lord Miller.
Yeah, seriously.
Those guys, man.
Number three this week, we got Tammy.
Tammy.
Made almost $13 million. Yeah, grand total of 57.5-ish on a budget of 20.
That's not bad. You know, it opened to about $30 million that 4th of July weekend. So that's a pretty good drop. Only 40% from week to week. I mean, people like Melissa McCarthy. She's
People like fat comedians.
Fat comedy works.
And she is the only one doing it right now.
For the lady side.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who's doing it for the guy side right now?
That's right. Who is doing it for the guy
side? There's nobody. I mean, Jonah Hill was kind of chubby. He's not fat anymore.
Are we only doing? He's still kind of fat. He's always still been kind of fat.
But still, he's not. He's not doing fat guy comedy.
I appreciate his attempt at weight loss. And he did get a lot of weight off. At a point there, he was looking like he ate one of them, that bubble gum in Willy Wonka, and he started blowing up.
Yeah,
What's her name? Danny McBride, where's he been at, man?
But he's not. I mean,
he's actually coming back to HBO.
He's a little bit overweight, but he's not like Farley, Belushi, fucking.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy fat. She's
not. And he was getting to a point, McBride, where he was starting to lose the weight, and he could feel like, oh man, I'm not being received as funny. And he went ahead and was like, let me just get the belly back.
On.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how that, man. Fat is funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's it. She's the funny obese comic right now.
Yes.
Because you're really talking about obesity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because McBride's fat.
Like, morbidly obese, pretty much.
Yeah, by technical terms, yes. Yeah. The BMI of over 30 for sure on all these people. And then short lifespans. John Goodman, he has been, you know, that's been a long time.
Since
on Roseanne.
Funny.
Yeah. So fascinating. I'm fascinated by this whole, where are all the fat comedians at? We only get one at a time, apparently. Kevin James, he had his run. He's done.
Yeah.
Jack Black had his run before that. He's done.
Yep. I mean, when it comes to, I'm sure there are plenty of fat stand-up comics still that are going strong.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, but
like
I'm talking...
We keep seeing that trailer for that Fluffy movie.
Exactly.
Is it called Fluffy? What's it called? Do you remember?
I can never remember. It's called The Fluffy Movie.
Gabriel, what's his name?
Iglesias. No.
I mean, that guy is fat.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, but I mean, when it comes to fat movie stars, like doing the fat comedy thing on screen, got nobody doing it right now except for her.
Well,
she's the one.
Good for her.
There could be only one.
And she's
the Highlander of fat comics.
I mean, a movie only cost $20 million, too. So I guess, what, $5 million of that was the catering budget? Hi-yo!
Ha! Where is it? Come on, you can do it.
Cricket, Beavis, clapping. Oh.
There we go.
I'm going to have to learn these buttons a little better.
Yeah, you are. Number two this week, Transformers Age of Extinction. Made an additional $16.5 million for a total of $209 on a budget of $210.
That was my Transformers review.
Sweet.
I mean, what can we say? It's
another Transformers movie.
It's
slightly racist. It's not that good. There's a lot of things going kaboom.
Only slightly racist. Yeah,
not as racist as the others.
Those are just a Japanese honorable Japanese samurai.
Who talk like this the whole time?
Talk like this whole time. At least he wasn't voiced by a white guy doing that.
Who knows? He might have been.
No, I don't think he was. I think it was. I don't want to say it's Ken Watanabe.
Because that's delightfully racist.
That would be delightfully racist. They had him in Godzilla just so he could go,
Godzilla.
Gojira. The first time he said Gojira. I was like, oh man, he called him Gojira.
He said it.
But then after that, they started calling him Godzilla. Godzilla. I was like, did they ever confirm that?
Nope.
That's the translation.
No.
Because Gojira, now we're going on a tangent. Gojira is actually a combination of two words.
Okay.
The Goj part is gorilla, mm-hmm. and the Jira is whale.
So he's a gorilla whale.
Gorilla whale. Hey, he's a gorilla whale, and I am a Bugatti in Transformers. Is he, though? I don't know. I'm going to find out right now. I don't think so. Anyway. Okay. Transformers making a lot of money. Oh, yeah, he is. He's the voice of Drift. I knew it.
It is Ken.
It is Ken Watanabe.
Of course it was.
The Honorable Watanabe. I love that guy. But, it's awesome. But still, the character was ridiculous. I hope he got fat paid for that.
Me too.
For selling out his peoples. Yeah. Speaking of selling out your peoples.
Number one movie.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess there were some people getting sold out in that movie.
Oh my God, were people getting sold
out? Well, apes were getting sold out.
Oh, all right, let's go.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Made $73 million this weekend. Yes. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
73.
So Dawn Planet Apes of the
$73 million.
$73 million. Tim's total budget of $170 million. So we'll see what happens.
It's already at $100 million worldwide.
Oh, there we go. It's
total.
It's made its money back the first.
No, it's only at $100 million worldwide.
Oh.
Additional $30 million so far. I don't think it's come out in that many markets. A lot of those foreign screens are still clogged up with Transformers because that thing's at like $700-800 million worldwide already. I'm trying to see here how quickly I can pull up the other Planet of the Apes because I want to see $73 million is good. I wonder what they were expecting though because again it's a summer blockbuster. A lot of these movies that came out in May were opening to north of $90 million. Obviously, you know, they would have liked. Especially at $170 million budget.
Transformers is still out there, so.
It's only been a couple of weeks. And as we were coming out of the theater for Planet of the Apes, I heard some people talking about going to see Transformers eventually. So there's still plenty of people out there that haven't even seen it yet and still plan on seeing it, even though they know it's long and it's a Transformers movie, but you know. You know, what are you gonna do? So, all right, here we go. Rise of the Planet of the Apes had an opening weekend of $54 million. That was in August. That's a different thing, though. In August, for whatever reason, it's rare for a movie to open to more than $50 million. A lot of movies open to less than 50. They put this one out in July, made 70. Maybe the next one will come out in May.
And make a little bit more. Maybe it'll make 90.
You know, maybe it'll get to 90 or 100. We'll see. Who knows? Okay. So good for them money-wise. Let's talk about the actual movie. Here we go. Spoiler-free discussion of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which to me
is the Dawn Planet same. Apes of the.
What's the difference between the dawn and the rise? The dawning and the rising? Is that denoting the same thing?
I don't know, maybe.
Denoting a beginning of the
something
planet?
Of sorts.
It's like calling the first one the beginning of the Planet of the Apes, and the second one's called also the beginning of the Planet of the Apes.
And then the next one will be like the mid-morning. Of the brunch of the Planet of the Apes.
The brunch of the Planet of the Apes. The breakfast buffet of the Planet of the Apes. Because we're very slowly going through this morning here.
Yeah, we are.
This day is going to take a long time before we get to the day of the Planet of the Apes.
Ah!
The night of the... Ooh
that's going to be creepy.
Is Night of the Planet of the Apes going to be a zombie movie?
Or maybe a post-apocalyptic. Like, we get to witness two apocalypses. Like, first the humans fall, then the apes fall.
And then the zombies come.
Ah, zombie-ape-human thing.
Night.
Ooh, zombie apes. I like it.
Night of the Planet.
Night of the Planet of the Apes.
Of the,
I like it.
Of the living apes.
Zombie apes.
I like it. That's what, yeah.
I like it.
There we go. All right, so now that we've figured out where this thing's going to go, you know, 20 years from now,
yep.
Let's talk about the one that we literally just saw this thing. I just got it at the theater, came straight back here to start recording. Rise of the Planet of the Apes. No, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. See, I just did it.
Yep.
Drew.
It was pretty good, man. I mean, all the apes looked awesome. Like I mean, at this point in time, I'm like the next time I go to the zoo, I'm expecting these chimpanzees to freaking talk to me because they looked so goddamn real.
They look crazy. They look crazy. And you know what? It's funny. They've been showing the other one, the Dawn of the Planet. No, rise. The Rise of the Sea. Now I'm doing. See, goddamn.
Rise then Dawn.
Rise and Dawn. First you rise and then you dawn. Yes. I don't know, the Dawn starts before.
Yeah, the right. No, the Rise then Dawn.
So they've been showing Rise of the Planet of the Apes recently on the TV. The movie's only a couple years old,
yeah.
2011, 2012, something like that. But already, a lot of the scenes with the monkeys at that time looked great.
Not so much now.
Now they're looking a little cartoony, yeah. You know? And it's only been a couple of years. This stuff looks fantastic, especially the close-ups, the face close-ups and stuff.
Oh, the hair. Yeah. It all looks so real.
It looks incredible. But I'm wondering, is it going to happen again 3, 4, 5 years
from now? It all depends on how much technology progresses.
It keeps progressing even better and better. Yeah. You know, they're finding... Because with this movie, they did an even new form of motion capture, which allowed them to actually have the actors on the physical outdoor sets instead of having to be in a room surrounded by a wall of cameras. They're actually outside... walking around in the woods and shit.
And their silly get-ups.
And their silly leotards with the dots and the camera right in their face. And that's the first time anyone's been able to do that on a film. Even they weren't even doing that for Avatar.
That's cool.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. So who knows what's next? The continuing of the technology, the way they bring these characters to life. Because like the two main monkey characters, ape characters, Caesar.
And his...
And Koba.
Yeah.
That's
They both look...
They both look incredible. So good. And... That helps bridge that, you know, the suspension of disbelief now. So now those two characters that are CG renderings, they have in the movie, they have a whole relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this whole dynamic between them going on. It's fascinating. He's got kids. You know which one is his kid because of the way they design them. And,
yeah, the way they look.
Yeah, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It was.
Story-wise, what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. There was pretty much two parallel stories that were running together. One about a father and son that were human. One about a father and son that were apes.
Yeah, the father-son thing.
So
there's a father-son thing, and then there's the tribalism thing.
Yeah, and
like the us versus them.
Even still, both of the stories were very similar.
Right.
Between the humans and the apes.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, because it's showing how, you know, even though they're separate, they're the same, and... like imagine what they could be doing if they worked together instead of ending up, you know. And it's obviously an allegory for the world and for us, you know. Why it's got to be white versus black? Why can't we all work together? But even then, within the white community, it's like people still fighting,
still backstabbing each other and whatnot.
You still got like the Catholics and the Irish. Like, come on, you guys are all Christian. You know what I mean, right? It's ridiculous.
All believe in the same guy.
Everyone believes in the same thing, but because you have little itty-bitty differences here and there, it's like it propels everyone away from each other.
Yep.
And you form your tight little groups, and it's all about protecting your group. So that's the thing. The characters have like noble intentions, even if they go down the wrong, like dark paths, you know? Yeah. And it happens, like you said, on both sides. There's some humans that do some questionable stuff in the name of saving humans.
Same thing with the apes.
Some apes do some questionable things in the name of saving apes. You know? So who do you root for at the end of this? Were you rooting for anyone? I didn't know who to root for.
I was rooting for the main human and Caesar. Because they were
trying to bring the peace.
They were the only pair that seemed to be working together for the common goal.
Yeah, yeah. They were trying to bring everyone together.
Everybody else was trying to destroy it all.
They were the Dr. Martin Luther Kings.
Yes.
And then you had Koba, and then you had Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
And they were the Malcolm X's.
Yes, they were.
They were like, we gotta arm up.
You know? And they do. Do they ever?
Do they ever? Yeah. Some crazy action scenes. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Really well shot stuff, too. Really good looking. None of that shaky cam.
Nope.
Hyper editing, you know. It's like really, really good looking stuff. This Matt Reeves guy, man, I think he's the real deal.
He's pretty good.
He's good. Now it's his third movie, and I think he's getting better.
Definitely.
And this is a good movie.
I've liked him in everything that I've seen him in.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. So I would say... Everyone should go see it.
Definitely, 100%. I mean, especially if you've seen, if you saw the last one, this one is just as good.
I would say it's even better. It's a little more focused. It's pretty impressive how each scene leads into the next scene, and each scene is either moving the story forward or it's advancing theme or character. Mm-hmm. There's no pointless scenes. There's very few redundant scenes. There's a couple of times where it's like, in different ways, they're saying the same thing over and over, you know. But it's fine. It wasn't egregious. It's really, really smartly written. Well done. Yeah. It's one of these big summer blockbuster that's actually
that's got something going on with it.
Yeah, it's actually good. It's people should definitely. It's not. It's not like you know. I don't want to say it's going to twist your mind up and like you got to think hard to follow it, because you don't. You could just sit there and watch it. Kids you know, teenagers could watch it, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, totally.
You don't have to, like, get into all the allegories and the emotional beats and stuff. There's still a good, just a good movie there. But it's also not like a check your brain at the door type of scenario where, you know, people have to excuse themselves for saying they enjoy it. Like, you can just enjoy the movie for what it is. It's damn good.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, go. It's worth seeing in theaters, right?
Check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out, people.
I mean, don't waste your money on 3D, because we do not recommend doing it ever.
We don't do that for sure. Very rare occasion where I find 3D to be something that actually be worthwhile. It's been a while. Gravity, I think, was the last one.
Gravitas. I watched that last night, actually, on the HBO.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And how did it hold up for you?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
I mean, some of the emotional stuff was kind of like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It's kind of lame. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for the most part, it still looked fucking beautiful every time, you know, showed this... the shots of Earth, or the one of her when she's in the fetal position, spinning around. It's still just like, oh my god, it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous movie. Cuarón, man.
Alfonso Cuarón.
He's fantastic, fantastic director. All right, well, we got new movies coming out on DVD this week. The fantastic Rio 2, can't wait. Rio 2.
Sweet, I never saw the first one.
Actually, I haven't seen either of them either. But Jesse Eisenberg plays the voice, so... if you want to see an animated movie about a blue bird voiced by Jesse Eisenberg,
that's your movie.
You got two of them. Enjoy. I think Bruno Mars is in this one too.
Sweet.
And he like sings, and his bird has like a pompadour.
Oh yeah.
Was that him? Yeah, that's him, right?
Yeah. So. That's the song that sounds like it could be off one of the Police albums.
Yeah, he does do that. He knows who to
rip off.
Amateurs create.
Yep, exactly. Professional steal.
Also coming out on DVD, I'm very looking forward to watching this movie again so I can actually really write about it. I don't think I wrote a review for it because I wanted to see it again. Under the Skin.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Odd one.
Very odd, very weird, very interesting. I'm not sure. I don't think I wrote it because it's
an odd one. Yeah, it's definitely something I want to check out because I'm not quite sure about some things.
What just happened?
Yeah,
there?
Exactly.
I can't be like, hey, can you rewind? When you're in the theater, can you go
rewind?
Back? Wait, can you stop? I need to look something up on the interwebs. So there you go. Those two movies. So make sure you don't get them mixed up when you show them to the kids.
Yeah, you don't want your kids watching Under the Skin.
It's like, yeah. Well, maybe, unless you're a bad parent. All right, so what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this week, Sex Tape.
Ah, yes, Cameron Diaz. Again, with the fat comedy theory, Jason Segel losing a bunch of weight.
Yeah, he looks weird.
He looks ill is what he looks like.
Yeah.
He looks like, you know, not to be joking about such a topic, but he looks like he's recovering from cancer.
Or maybe he's got the HIV.
Oh.
Maybe he's got the HIV.
It's possible. Ooh, that would change the whole perspective of this sex tape movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's not good. Sex tape, it's the, what's this guy? The director of, what's this movie?
Bad Teacher.
Which was okay.
Hey, and guess who was in Bad Teacher?
Well, of course. You know, if you can find someone that you work well with, why not
get him again?
Repeat the process. And Bad Teacher was okay. You know, I saw it once and enjoyed it.
I saw it once.
Can't
and
remember too
almost
much about it.
Wanted did not watch it, but whatever. It wasn't. I didn't think it was that good.
Yeah, it's just a comedy. Justin Timberlake gets the mug a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit. Cameron Diaz gets to say some bawdry things, some bawdy stuff.
Mm, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that's I guess about
it. And Jason Segel's the nice fat guy who gets the girl in the end.
That's right. Yeah, that never happens.
Nope.
What else is coming out this weekend?
The Purge: Anarchy.
Okay,
which looks interesting.
The Purge: Anarchy looks like what The Purge should have been the first time. Yeah, just take us out to the streets. Why is this bullshit home invasion movie you gave us?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, that was a crock of shit. But yeah, this one, they're out on the streets. And you know what I want to know? How come... You know what I want to know?
When The Purge starts. So when does it start in America for reals? Because I got some purging to do, buddy.
So stupid. The whole... the crime is down because for one night a year, people can do... Yeah, that's bullshit. That would not happen.
I would kill so many people.
I want to know how come if everything is legal, right? Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. The night of the purge, people just murder. That's all they do. Murder. Yep. So many other things you can do.
I know. Let's rob some banks.
Go with the face of Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, I would do some like social activism stuff, you know, blow up some.
But nobody wants to watch a movie about that. The Purge, social activism. I mean, seriously?
Actually, no, I do want to see that. Blowing up corporate art and shit. Yeah. That sounds like fun. And then they get, and then the, and then there's like
Black the Purge, Ops. Bank robbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, how come just in this one movie they can't show us people doing a bunch of stuff?
Maybe they will, Chris.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they will. I doubt it, but maybe they will.
I doubt it very much, too. It'll most likely just be people beating and killing each other. Frank Grillo was the lead, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because he's a, well, I don't know if he's a lead. He looks like a kind of an ensemble.
Yeah, it does.
An ensemble. And he's a pretty badass looking dude. You know, he's believable as a tough guy.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, we have a lack of those guys in movies.
And, you know, you give him a scruffy beard and a bulletproof vest, and he's good to go.
You do. You know what? Beef the guy up a little bit. Frank Castle.
Yeah, he could be Punisher.
Yeah, totally. I'd buy him as Punisher. Yeah. You know, Thomas Jane could be Punisher. Frank Grillo could be Punisher, for sure. All right. Well, that's it for in theaters. Sorry for.
Oh well. I mean, there's a couple of other weird ones. If you're into the kids stuff, that Disney Planes Fire and Rescue comes out.
Oh, you know what?
Anybody gives a shit.
That might make. I wouldn't be surprised if that makes around 50 million or so. Like the first one opened around 50 million. So.
I mean, if you're into indie stuff, that
Indiana Jones.
That Wish I Was Here movie, that new Zach Braff flick.
Oh, that's coming out limited release?
Limited release.
The sequel to Garden State.
No.
Which is, you know, I remember liking Garden State, but I also haven't seen it in over 10 years.
Yeah. And also, keep seeing trailers for this movie. The idea looks interesting. I don't know if it's going to pull through.
Oh, but I think
that Origins movie.
Yeah.
It looks really... The idea behind it seems really fucking cool.
Yeah. But then, yeah. But,
but I don't know how it's going to pan out.
It
could go so wrong so quick.
From the writer director of Another Earth, and that girl Britt Marling that's in it, that blonde.
Uh-huh.
She also like co-wrote Another Earth. I wouldn't be surprised if she co-wrote this as well. And Another Earth is one of those movies where I felt like a very intriguing premise. You know, where just one night people look up and there's a second Earth. Earth 2 is in the sky up there, and then a few years later is a contest for some one person can win a trip to Earth 2, you know, and it's a fascinating concept. And then the movie is just a really basic little character movie about regret. You didn't need the whole Earth, second Earth angle. It was totally superfluous, you know. It was very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like you said, I'm hoping that they tie it all together better with this one, and it makes more sense why they go this direction. It should. It's a pretty interesting premise. Every set of eyes is unique, and he's looking for the second set of eyes.
Because somebody found, like, his wife dies or something, and somebody found her exact iris pattern in India.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got to go find it.
Of course, in India, where they believe in reincarnation. You know?
Maybe.
Can he be a little more heavy-handed about stuff?
Yeah, probably not.
Well, we'll see. That's going to come out here eventually, so we'll definitely be checking that out. So, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I got a couple movies here. I got a couple of songs here from movies. Got a couple movies from songs. 80s soundtrack. We're going with Short Circuit 2.
Short Circuit's awesome.
Short Circuit 2. Well, Short Circuit is awesome. Short Circuit 2, not so much. But during the end scene when he's like chasing the bad guys along the docks or whatever, they're playing Bonnie Tyler's I Need a Hero.
Sweet.
Love that song.
I need a hero.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to play that. And then I'm not sure if I played this before. I must have. But if, you know, whatever. I'm playing it again because it's awesome. Huey Lewis in the News. Back in Time. I think I did Power of Love before, so here's Back in Time.
And I think you've done Pineapple Express, too.
I've definitely done Pineapple Express.
How did we ever get into this mess, Chris? Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express. That's how it happens sometimes. All right, so here you go, guys. Enjoy these two tunes from the 80s. Get your groove on, and we'll be back with the second half of the show. What's the score?
0-0.
Oh, perfect. 0-0. All right, take a break.
Oh, Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome to the second half of episode 79 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I'm still your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Cogburn. Still.
Drew? Still.
Still.
Here you still. Go. I'm not still. I'm moving.
Keep it moving.
I'm talking about it, man. I'm not still.
Like water, always moving. Never stagnant.
Got to.
Good job, Drew. Let's get the plugs out of the way. I already mentioned ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for written reviews, past episodes of Cinema Crespo Diso, Netflix picks of the week's. Stuff like that. You can also check the show out on iTunes and Stitcher. Rate us and review us. Let people know. Share us, please. Just let other people know. Let your friends know that, hey, this is a cool show out there. You guys may enjoy it. It's free entertainment.
Seriously. We're not charging you anything.
Not charging you a dime. But if you want to be charged dimes, go ahead and go to cafepress.com/cinemacrespodiso. There's some things up there for sale. Things like shirts and... I think maybe some dog collars.
Keychains,
mugs. A lot of crap, actually. A whole lot of crap with our logo on it. And there'll be more designs, more products to come. CafePress.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Check it out. Some good stuff up there.
Buy stuff. Get us paid.
Buy stuff. Get us paid. Yo. Paid. Cash money. Wait, see? I got that one, too. I got to get better with this.
Ching.
Oh, see? Oh, you just did it. So that's fine.
Okay, so we get so we get
Bitcoin. I'll take a Bitcoin.
That's Bitcoin. Bitcoins are expensive.
Bitcoins are fucking expensive, man. It's me opening my treasure of my box of Bitcoins.
Sweet.
Hold on, I'm still opening the box. Bitcoin,
dude. I want some. Those are rupees, but whatever.
All right. Well, on Twitter, show is at Crespo Diso. I am Chris Crespo on Twitter. That came out weird. My Twitter handle is I am Chris Crespo. Drew is
at antihero419 on Twitter and Instagram.
Check out that Instagram. Cinema Crespo is on Instagram, and the Facebook too, which is Facebook owns Instagram. So you'd think they would just connect them.
The Facebook gram.
Just connect them already.
The Instabook.
The Instabook. The Facegram. Facegram. That sounds like a telegram of the future.
Yes, but Facegram.
From a movie in the 80s.
Okay.
Like something gram. That would have been in Back to the Future. Yeah. You got a face gram, and then it's, the TV screen becomes Flea. And he goes, McFly! that's a Chinese guy. All right, what do we got here? We got some, you know what I wanted to talk about? I didn't even have this in my notes, but we saw the trailer today in front of Planet of the Apes for Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Yes, the Ridley Scott flick with... Batman as Moses.
Batman as Moses and an Australian as a pharaoh.
Yes. Isn't Sigourney Weaver like their mother or something?
Was she in there?
I think they showed her.
I didn't see any Sigourney Weaver. I wouldn't be surprised though. Yeah, Ridley Scott doing a Moses movie. Kind of like the Ten Commandments, but not, I guess.
So it's like Aronofsky's Noah, where it's kind of like the Noah, but not?
Yeah, are they...
I mean,
it's gods and kings, but gods?
These are epic stories. I mean, yeah, well, yes, gods, because, you know, Moses is, you know, doing the Jew thing with Yahweh, and Ramses is going with their whatever the fuck, whoever they were worshiping at the time.
The Egyptian gods, yes.
Yeah.
Christian Bale does look pretty cool.
He does.
But it also, there's that weird whitewashing of roles thing going on where they got a Welshman and an Australian playing roles that should be played by Middle Easterners, by the Egyptian and like an Israeli, an old school Israeli.
Correct.
Right? Now, acting is acting. Part of acting is inhabiting different roles and different things, embodying different people. But then it gets to a point where, well, you're giving these white guys roles that could be going to brown guys.
Yeah. You know? Well, maybe Ridley Scott... had a bunch of brown people show up and they all fell flat.
And then Christian Bale showed up.
He's like, yo, what's up? I'm Christian Bale. And he was like, yours.
He's like, I am Moses. I'm like, all right, yeah, sure. Yes, yes, sir, Christian Bale. Don't hit us. Don't hit me.
Please. Please don't smite me with God's wrath.
They do show like the River of Blood real quick and some of the storm. I mean, it looks amazing.
It does.
It looks beautiful.
Looks crazy as fuck.
And it's, the Bible's full of great stories. You know what I read that he's doing next? He's working on a David story, King David.
Sweet.
But it's David after the Goliath, the whole David and Goliath thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's after he slew Goliath. So
King David.
King David and him. Yeah, that's an intense story. Yeah, you know, dude, they got the Bathsheba thing,
did
right?
Some King David did some terrible things.
Some bad things, and he was a king of war.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't he kill, like, one of his best friends so he could bang his wife or something?
I don't think it was his
something
friend,
like,
but he did. He had someone sent to the front lines of one of his wars so that he could die so that then he could just have his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of twisted.
But then that's why then at the end.
But hey, it was God's will, right?
No, that's why at the end, spoiler alert, it's a different God. Old Testament God's different from a New Testament God. An Old Testament God was like, you know what? I need you to build me. I need a temple built for me in my name where we're going to house the Ark of the Covenant. But you, David, will not be building it because you are a God of war. And it's going to be your son who builds it because he'll be a dude of peace.
Okay.
And that was King Solomon. World's wisest man.
Dude of peace.
Dude of peace. King Solomon, dude of peace.
Yeah, that. And
I'm writing that screenplay.
That should be your next movie.
Yep.
Dude of peace. King Solomon. Or King Solomon.
Dude
of peace.
Colon.
Dude of peace.
Dude of peace. Mm-hmm. Maybe that'll be Ridley Scott's movie after that. Although he's supposed to be working on a Blade Runner 2, so.
Also. Blade Runner Dose is.
With Harrison Ford.
Ford's going to be in this one?
With Harrison Ford, yeah. Which means, was he not a replicant then? Because he aged?
Maybe.
Or did replicants age? I don't know.
Maybe he's
Geek Talk.
Maybe he's the elder model.
There you go. They changed him. They changed his skin.
Uh-huh.
Made him look older so he could fit in.
I don't know.
All right, so Exodus. We'll see. Looking forward to that one. And also that Brad Pitt movie, Fury.
Looks crazy.
That tank warfare movie.
With Mustache LaBeouf.
With Mustachio LaBeoufio. And where's that kid from? That freaking kid.
Percy Jackson.
That's Percy Jackson! That's right. Percy Jackson's the new recruit who has to learn the terrors of war.
Yes.
Plus he's fresh out of school.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty cool.
It does.
Written and directed by David Ayer. Ayer. Dude did End of Watch and Training Day and Sabotage, which wasn't too...
Sabotage.
It was okay. You know. But this one looks good. Looks pretty intense. So definitely check out the trailers for those online. The Exodus and Fury. There's another one, too. There's a third trailer that I really enjoyed.
Nope, nothing. I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer is always awesome.
Yeah, that's cool looking. Yeah, they had a quick shot. Benicio del Toro in there looking crazy.
No.
Delightfully crazy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture online of Michael Rooker with a crazy blue face and a red mohawk.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's some dude. Everyone's gonna
be awesome.
I read that this the Guardians of the Galaxy is gonna have the highest concentration of Marvel characters in one Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like even like little tiny roles. Like they even some characters they threw them names of characters from comic books just so they could have more names in there. Even though like the characters different from what's usually in the comic book,
mm-hmm.
They're just like fuck it, man. We'll get as many in there as possible.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. See how it works.
Marvel in space.
But
man.
Then I see Chris Pratt there, and like I like the guy. Nothing against him. Don't see him really being like a. Commercially viable lead of a big budget movie. Like
we'll
this.
See.
We will see. We will see August 1st. We will
I mean,
see.
I have a feeling this is another one of those ensemble things. I mean, he's going to be.
Well, it's definitely it's
be,
a group. It's the Guardians, for
exactly.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's going to be the character that we can all relate to because he's human.
Yeah,
and all that
that's
fun
the thing.
Stuff.
He's the one human face you can sell it on. I mean, Zoe Saldana's great, but
she's got green face.
She's got green face, and no one's buying. No one's seen movies called Zoe Saldana's in it,
mm-mm.
Right? Vin Diesel's the voice of a character, but no one sees movies because people are the voice of characters.
Correct.
And then Bradley Cooper gets the voice of Rocket Raccoon. That character could be voiced by anyone.
Anybody.
It's the fact that it's a fucking machine gun wielding, probably
raccoon humanoid thing,
shit talking raccoon. That's gonna be the most fun character.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking forward to most. And then Dave Bautista, what he's gonna bring in $1 million worth of WWE fans.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So what? What is that? We're looking at a. $15 million opening weekend? No, that's way too low. That's far too low. But also come out in August. Remember my thing with August? I looked up on the Box Office Mojo. Like 5 movies in the history of movies have come out over a $50 million opening weekend in August. And they've mm-hmm. all been sequels or like things that people know. Like, I mean, just straight up. It's like third sequels. It's very popular stuff. That's people don't know Guardians of the Galaxy.
They don't know anything. And
this is a tough sell.
I think it's going to be a sleeper. I think this is going to be one of those where it comes out in theaters. It might flop. And then once it comes out on DVD, people are going to be like, why didn't we see this in theaters?
This is actually really good and visually very incredible. Which, I mean,
the trailers look nuts.
Yeah, the trailers look really good. I mean, the visuals look out of control. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I fear the fate is of this movie. And then the problem is going to be that Marvel gave James Gunn the most creative freedom of anyone. And any of their Marvel movies, they've had problems with other directors. No. And if this one doesn't do so well, then Marvel's going to be like, now we got to pull in the reins on our other directors. You know, we can't let them... Because apparently they've had a few, not just Edgar Wright leaving, or Joe Carnahan leaving. Oh, was it him leaving? No, so who left? Someone left one of the other projects, I forgot who it was. But they've had problems.
Yeah.
You know, that all hasn't been smooth sailing for everyone. But apparently James Gunn's been going great. But if it doesn't work out financially...
We'll see what happens.
That's going to be a tricky one. All right, let's get into some movie news here. I got some stories. Where are the stories at, yo? Let's see. Episode 79 news. I got some True Detective news.
Sweet.
Because as we all know now, the best TV shows on TV are actually just long movies.
Oh, wah, wah,
wah, wah. True Detective cliffhanger. I'll let you know the breaking news about True Detective in a minute here. Got a quick game, one that I thought of while I was sitting on my ass on vacation this week watching some movie.
Sweet.
And this guy popped up in this movie. I was like, oh man.
It's that guy.
It's that guy. I can't believe he's in this movie. That's crazy. I forgot about that. You know when that happens sometimes?
Right? Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. Especially the more I watch movies. Like, I'll watch older movies. They'll be like, oh, it's that guy. He's way older now.
Yeah, that's funny when that happens. This one I'm calling Busy Bees. I'm going to give you three movies, Drew. You tell me which actor or actress was in all three.
Oh, it's going to be awful.
So, for example, what if I said Jaws? What about Bob and Mr. Holland's Opus?
Oh, what's that? Mr. Dreyfus.
Mr. Dreyfus is correct. See? I will tell you now, going from 1 through 10, I did design it to start out easy and get harder.
And this is gonna be ugly.
Well, we'll see. Here we go. You never know.
I'm not good with actors' names.
We'll find out. Because number one, here we go, is Independence Day, Men in Black, and Hitch.
Will Smith.
That is correct. Number two, Star Wars, Mosquito Coast, Patriot Games.
Host.
Yeah, I threw that one in there.
I mean, Harrison Ford?
Harrison Ford is correct. Number three, Saturday Night Fever, Face Off, The Punisher.
Travolta.
Travolta is correct. Number four, Gone in 60 Seconds, Wanted, Maleficent.
Angelina Jolie
is correct. Number five, The Money Pit, Big, Larry Crown.
T. Hanks
is correct. Number six, The Mask, Any Given Sunday, The Counselor.
Cameron Diaz
is correct. Number seven, here we go, Drew. The Jackal, The Cable Guy, King Kong.
Jack Black?
Jack Black is correct. Number eight. That's when I was watching The Jackal. And he got his arm blown off.
Yeah, I love
Bruce
that
Willis.
Part.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I forgot about that.
I never forget about it. That's my favorite part of that movie.
Yeah, he gets his arm totally blown off. Number eight, Happy Gilmore, Permanent Midnight, Keeping the Faith. This is a tough one. Happy Gilmore, Permanent Midnight, Keeping the Faith. Ooh, that's Ben Stiller and Happy Gilmore. He's the guy, right? Permanent Midnight is the movie where he plays the a version of the guy who wrote Alf. He was a heroin addict.
Okay.
That's a great movie. And Keeping the Faith, you ever see that one where he's a rabbi and Ed Norton is a priest and they're going after the same girl?
No.
I think it was directed by Ed Norton.
Interesting.
That's a good one. Number nine. So that's the first one you got wrong? Yeah. There you go. Number nine. Thelma and Louise, True Romance, Sleepers.
Boom, 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 boom.
Thelma and Louise, True Romance, and Sleepers. Thinking hard. If he thinks any harder, he's going to shit his pants.
Christian Slater?
No, Brad Pitt. That's a close one. Christian Slater was in two of them. That was a close one. Bitch. And finally, number 10.
Really, Brad Pitt was in Thelma and Louise?
He was the dude that they wanted to fuck. The hitchhiker they picked up. Number 10, School Ties, Courage Under Fire, The Rainmaker.
I got nothing.
Ooh, School Ties, Courage Under Fire, Rainmaker, no. Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
So there you go. You got the last three wrong. So 7 out of 10.
Not bad.
Still did quite well, if you ask me.
So well, when you try to get into the last ones, like I hadn't seen 2 out of the 3 movies sometimes. It's like, I don't know where this is going.
That makes it a little tougher. That makes it a little harder. Oh, I did, like I said, I was trying to make the game a little harder. All right, True Detective Season 2. We got some rumors now for a lead and for the director. Because the show is it's written and created by this one guy, Nick Pizzolatto, or whatever his name is. And he got this Corey Fukunaga fella to do the first season. Now he's looking for a new director to do the second season. Apparently, he's been in talks with William Friedkin, the guy who did The Exorcist, Bug, Killer Joe, To Live and Die in L.A. I mean, this guy's a great director. You know,
he's some weird stuff, too.
Weird stuff, very cerebral movies. Apparently, William Friedkin is an extremely smart man who suffers no fools. You know, he's that type of guy, very to the point about a lot of stuff. He also, directs operas on the side and shit. You know, he's a very intense intellectual fellow. I would never call him a weirdo to his face. I'm also slightly afraid of him. During The Exorcist, to get, Max von Sydow to get the right just to get him freaked out or whatever right after he yelled action, Sydow had to do a scene right after he yelled action, he pulled out a gun with a blanket in, pow, set it off on the set, he took a shot and freaked everyone out. They all looked at him and then he was looking at Sydow I said fucking action. and you can see him, and they use that shot, you see in the movie, his hand is shaking as he's trying to, cause the adrenaline's all pumping and shit. He's a crazy, crazy man, William Friedkin. So he's come out and said that he's been talking to Pizzolatto, and he says that this guy is the real deal. He's really interested by him, and they're talking about maybe him doing the directing season 2.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think
that'd be fun.
William Friedkin's True Detective. That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, it would.
And in talks to be, there are going to be 4 main characters, apparently, and in talks to be one of these main characters is an actor who I like. Not a lot of people like him. I like him. Colin Farrell.
Okay. I mean, it all depends.
That's exactly it. It depends on what he's in and who's working with him. Yeah. He's the type of actor that you can mold him into a great performance. You can guide him there.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Mark Wahlberg type of thing, you know? Because Mark Wahlberg can be quite good.
He can be.
And then sometimes he's not so much. Have you seen the bees, guys? you know about the honeybees?
The trees are trying to kill us.
Run away from the breeze. sticking with television, movies on television, because that's what these are. Yeah. Especially now in situations like this where one person is writing the whole thing and one person's directing the whole thing, right? So you have the complete tonal coherence. There's a show that's about to debut on Cinemax that we're going to have to find a way to start watching it. We might have to start getting Cinemax for a little longer.
Maybe. Nope.
We might have to. But there's a show called The Nick.
Okay.
It's set in the Knickerbocker Hotel in New York City around the year 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a guy who's he's the lead surgeon there or whatever. And it's all about crazy medicine around that time.
Yeah.
The lead is played by Clive Owen.
Nice.
And all 10 episodes, whole thing written and directed by Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, man. That'll be good.
That's going to be really good. And I think Cinemax likes what they've seen because they've already signed up Soderbergh to do season 2.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's doing all 10 of those episodes.
Yeah.
So Soderbergh, he retired from making movies he could go to TV and make a 20-hour movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine by me.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I'm totally cool with that. That's on top of him also doing off-Broadway, directing off-Broadway stuff and constantly writing online. He's one of these guys who he retired and now he's busier than ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny how that happens. You know, it wouldn't be an episode of Cinema Crespediso if we didn't have either Man versus Superman versus Batman update.
Oh, good lord.
Or Fast and Furious 7 update.
Okay, so we got both this week.
So we got both. Rumor. We got a rumored villain for Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Because we already know we got...
Batfleck.
Well, Batfleck is Batman. And we already got Lex Luthor, played by Jesse Eisenberg, to be... We don't know if he's the main bad guy, but you know he's going to be a main bad guy. There's also a couple roles being played by some people that indicate we have lower levels of bad dudes. I haven't really said who's who, though. Rumor has it, it could be a small role, it could be kind of big, we could be seeing Doomsday in this movie.
Okay.
Doomsday is famous for being created in 1992 specifically to kill off Superman.
And he did.
Yeah, which he did. They killed each other.
Yeah.
But then they didn't.
Well, yeah, because Superman's totally alive. And
and Doomsday was alive the whole time.
I'm pretty sure they just strapped Doomsday to a freaking whatever and threw him into space.
Cyborg Superman strapped Doomsday to a boulder, flung him out into outer space, and then like the last panel of that book is
his eyes open.
His eyes are open, and he's like splayed out on the boulder, and he's laughing. He's like, you know, because he's a maniac too. On top of just being an indiscriminate destructing machine for no reason.
Correct.
You know, didn't bother with any origin for this guy. He just pounded his way out of the ground
and went killed Superman.
Well, first he fucked up the JLA along the way.
Yeah.
A Guy Gardner and all those guys.
Yeah.
See, those are the couple of issues I've actually read. I remember. I haven't read much else. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing with Doomsday. It was someone has seen artwork for Doomsday.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's not sure whether this was stuff that was commissioned before the full-on JLA prequel.
Yeah, or if this was still back in the Superman.
Right. When it was just supposed to be a sequel to Man of Steel, straight up Man of Steel 2. It's possible they could pull like a Thanos in Avengers, you know, where it's just a quick shot of him, setting him up as a future villain, where Doomsday could pop up like towards the end. Apparently, the movie's gonna open with the Aquaman cameo,
okay.
So it can't really close. It can't really open to a Doomsday. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
But I don't know, man.
It'll be weird.
This movie's gonna be a goddamn mess if you ask me.
I agree with you 100%.
And in Fast and Furious 7 news, just because I feel like we've been talking about it, we've been tracking it, you know,
you
the,
might
whole,
as well
the,
keep talking.
The whole production, and there's another update that I think is worth noting, because as we all know, this franchise is just coming to its own in the later stages. What movies do that? No movies do that. It's the weirdest thing, but it's one where I think they're getting more watchable, a lot of people think. Fast and Furious 7 is getting ready to come out. They were in the middle of filming, and this Paul Walker guy decides to get into a Porsche, and the Porsche explodes with him in it, pretty much. You know, sad. Rest in peace. They shut down production. Insurance company came in. They had to spend upwards of $50 million for a combination of facial replacement, CGI, and using body doubles.
And his actual brothers.
Yeah. Right. And then that resulted in, like, crazy feelings on the set. And apparently Vin Diesel was getting really difficult to work with and calling crazy meetings and stuff. It was just a very tumultuous production, obviously, because, you know, tragedy hit them.
Yeah.
They were very... And you know how the movie, every Fast and Furious movie, they might as well call it Family and Furious or Fast and
seriously.
Family. Because it's always like...
They're all like, we're tight, we're family.
We're family, this is a family. Vin Diesel's like, we're family. Yeah. You know, it's like, we get it, guys, we get it. That's the fucking theme of the movie. Stop saying family over and over. Make these movies 15 minutes shorter, and they're fucking perfect. But, you know, these guys say it often enough in the movies, they started to believe it. They've made so many movies together now for 15 years. They are really a tight-knit family, and so it was really hard for them when Walker died. And they just put on their Facebook page recently, today we completed the last shot in the production of Fast and Furious 7. So production has wrapped.
Today.
They're good to go. Well, not today. It was a few days ago that this was posted. And they put a little thing on Facebook about, you know, how thankful we are for your support, love and strength,
blah, blah, blah.
Blah,
blah, blah,
blah. Our Fast family has been together for
blah, blah, blah. Blah.
For those, we count as brothers.
Blah,
we got
blah, 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 blah.
Our family is big and strong.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah.
Thank you for being there,
blah, 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 blah.
With love, blah, 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 blah. Your Fast and Furious family. That's how they sign it.
Blah, blah, blah.
Family, family, family. Notable for two things. Production just wrapped now. This week, Rise of the Planet? Just came out.
Dawn.
Damn it.
Rise is the first one.
Sons of bitches. that movie was actually supposed to come out this weekend, coming up.
Okay.
But they bumped it up a week because Fast and Furious 7 was supposed to come out this weekend. You know, and they just finished shooting this week, which gives you an idea of how much it's been delayed, how much work has to go into it. Now they have a new release date April 3rd, 2015. And I find that interesting because I don't think there has been a $100 million opening weekend in April ever. There's been a couple $80 million and maybe one or two $90 million. Most recently, Captain America opened. The second Captain America opened this year in April. That had a over $80 million opening weekend. Yeah. And I think Fast and Furious 6, the last one, opened at the end of April, like the week before May. So yeah. It got a jump start mm-hmm. on the summer movie. And that opens like 70 or, no, 80. Over 80 for sure. Possible with the whole pent up now demand for this movie. It's been delayed. It's been in the media. Paul Walker died. All his fans. Yeah. Like, people are really coming out. This has a chance of being the first $100 million April movie ever.
It could be.
It could be. And it also, most likely, could be the last one because they were talking about
keeping it rolling.
Keep cranking these things out. They're making more and more money each one. Keep cranking them out. But now this whole Paul Walker thing, it's like, ooh.
It's really hard to crank it out without that guy, random white guy.
With that one random white guy. Well, the way they feel about it, like they don't want to keep going on without him. You know?
That's fine.
Which is, yeah. Like
I'm okay with that.
You're right. It is a random white guy. It's not like he added that much.
Nope.
It's Paul Walker. Yep. I mean, come on.
Seriously.
Don't want to speak ill of the dead, but the guy wasn't very good.
No. Exactly. He was what he was, and he was okay being what he was.
He was okay being
more power to him.
You know what? He was fine with it too.
Yeah,
he was fine with it. He knew
his limits.
He was totally self aware of like how he was as an actor and the type of movies he does, and he was working and trying to be better. And I always appreciate that. And sometimes it works for certain, like Channing Tatum. He's a guy who's worked at the craft, and
it's actually working for him.
Yeah, he started out just coasting on charisma whatsoever, and now as he's getting more experience, he's getting better. It happens. Some guys, it just never really
happens.
Doesn't happen all the way. So Pacific Rim, we got the sequel coming out 2017. We got that Strain pilot on
starting
tonight. The pilot directed by Guillermo del Toro, which is very exciting. I love Guillermo del Toro. Even if all of his movies are great, like Hellboy 2, a little disappointing, and then he has movies like Mimic, which is his one, trying to make a Hollywood movie and studio interference, stuff like that, because every foreign director has to go through that once or twice. I'm pretty sure it's in like the DJ bylaws or something over there. But he's got the Strain coming out tonight, the pilot for the book that he co-wrote with Chuck Hogan. I just finished the whole trilogy. I think it's great. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing how they adapt it. You know what I saw?
What did you see?
It, the block of time for the show tonight?
Yeah.
10 p.m. to 11:40.
Ooh, it's going to be a longie.
It's going to be a longie. It's going to be like a nice little short movie here.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. but he's a busy, busy man doing a lot of stuff, both as producer and director and a writer. We got here for Pacific Rim, they found a way to bridge the story gap between mm-hmm. Pacific Rim and what Pacific Rim 2 will be. Animated series.
Nice. That'll be fun. I'll watch that.
They're going to do an animated Pacific Rim series, which will be a lot of fun, and it's going to tell the story of what happens between the movie that we saw and the one that's coming out.
Sweet.
So even though it's going to be a few years before we get the sequel, at least we're going to have this to kind of satiate ourselves.
Man, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be pretty cool. No news on like where it's going to be, what channel it's going to be on. But
it'll probably be, you know what? Depending on how they go with it, it might be... like Cartoon Network type deal, like maybe part of their adult programming.
Isn't that what they did with the Clone Wars and stuff?
Yeah,
right?
Star Wars. Well,
it's Viacom. Well, now I'm trying to think of which of the five companies owns Cartoon Network. It's Viacom, right?
I think so.
But they work with Disney though.
Maybe.
There's only five companies that control 90%
Star Wars
of the
Clone
media.
Wars is also a Netflix only series as well.
Oh, the Netflix only one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's all about follow the money. Where's the money going? Speaking of Star Wars, Star Wars Episode 7 going to be shot in IMAX. Really
sweet.
Certain scenes will be. Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that J.J. Abrams he's breaking up the IMAX cameras. He tweeted out a picture. Here, let me see if I can show this to you. Tweet out a picture of an IMAX camera just pointed at the desert.
Yeah.
So and confirmed real IMAX cameras, not digital IMAX. He's shooting on film.
Fake shit.
He's shooting on film. So when that just means when Star Wars Episode 7 comes out, we gotta go to that point in Orlando because that's the only real IMAX screen in town.
We're not doing IMAX,
and they'll be able to show the full 70mm print. And it fills up the entire screen. The screen's the size of a 6-story building. 10,000 watts of sound. I mean, that when that shit's done right,
it's awesome.
Between it's gonna be that and Interstellar this year, because Chris Nolan used IMAX cameras for that, and then Star Wars next year, that's gonna be tight.
Lots of IMAX in space.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so here we go. We got I got a couple questions here. Let's start. Actually, I'll start here on the Facebook. I got one on Facebook from. Oh, where'd he go? This is from Gene Reese on Facebook. I know he's also on Twitter at Gene_Reese, so you can follow him if you want to. He's a nice guy. He writes, just watched RIPD. Can you tell me how they got all those great actors to suck so bad?
Well, you have an awful director and really bad CG, and the script probably wasn't that good either.
Oh,
you know, I mean, they're people. I mean, yes, they probably have self-respect for themselves and their craft and all these things, but at a certain point in time, you look at the script and you say, you're going to pay me how much money? Yes, I'm in. Yes, give me the money.
I have financial obligations.
Exactly.
I got bills to pay this month.
They got bills to pay. They phoned it in. The director was okay with it, and it made no money.
It didn't make any money.
And it's not. In all reality, it's not going to hurt Jeff Bridges' career, and Ryan Reynolds never really had a career to begin with.
Yeah, his career has been floundering since he's trying to get it going, at least in terms of being a lead in big movies like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There are good actors, but, you know, like we were talking about with the Farrell and the Wahlberg, sometimes you do need a good director there to, like, really guide people. Otherwise, come up with crazy decisions, or they start doing weird things. You're like, I don't know.
It helps if you have a good script.
Jeff Bridges has been doing this thing lately where, like, whatever movie he's in, he has to, like, talk weird. He has to put on some sort of accent, or, like, he has this Giver movie coming out, and he's just talking, like, marble mouth, or I can't move my bottom jaw or something. Like, dude, just talk normal.
He's Jeff Bridges, man.
I know. He's an American treasure.
Let him do his thing.
He's an American treasure. I would just like to be able to understand him. That's all. That's all I'm saying. At DTBB206. It's another podcast. A 5 Minutes Away podcast.
All right.
He asks, what summer blockbusters are you reviewing?
All of them.
There you go. I don't think he understood why I was asking for questions. I don't think he got it. Okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. He probably doesn't listen to me anyway. Good old Matt Celery. Love Matt Celery. This guy's awesome. And you know what he's good for?
Huh.
He's good for keeping us on our toes and reminding us about shit. For example, Matt Celery, don't worry, dude. Once Tyler Perry Made a Christmas comes out
on DVD, I will watch it. I can't.
We gotta wait for it.
You find me a copy, I will watch it.
It's coming out. They're probably waiting for the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be an end of the year thing. It'll be our Christmas present to you, Matt. And to everyone else who's looking forward to us doing a little bonus thing on
my review of Tyler Perry's Made a Christmas.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that too. I'm gonna have to watch it with you now.
Yeah, you are.
That just sounds wonderful. He writes, what happened to the theater review? I think you've only done one so far, the Amstar in Lake Mary. Matt Celery, funny you asked that, dude. Last week, we meant to do one.
When we saw Snowpiercer, yeah.
When we saw Snowpiercer, it was at a theater that Drew hadn't been to before. So we meant to do one, and then I forgot to put it in my notes. So that's why it's in my notes now. So we'll do a review right now of the AMC Downtown Disney. It's one of those dine-in theaters. I think it's like a 24, something like that. An insane amount of screens over there. So it's at Downtown Disney.
The ticket machines outside don't work.
That's number one. There's like 5 automatic ticket machines.
None of them work.
I think one of them works.
0.
I didn't bother trying all of them. I think one of them might work. And then I told the little teenager at the window. Well, you know, I mentioned, I was like, you know, all those machines work. And she was like, yeah, I know. She kind of like, a lot of people complain about it, and it's annoying that they haven't fixed it yet.
Yeah.
So, like, I understood that she was frustrated about it. And I was like, you know, I mentioned it.
You could put a sign on it.
I was like, you guys could put signs on it that say, you know, out of order. And then she didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, well, you know, if I can be like that, then you minimum wage motherfucker. Fucking assholes.
Assholes.
It really is annoying. I went through 4 different machines trying to get a goddamn ticket that had to go wait in goddamn line. I hate waiting in line. I hate the face-to-face interaction because of shit like that.
Yep.
What the fuck? I just wanted my goddamn ticket. And she's like, you want to donate $1 to children's cancer? You want a regular membership?
Card? No.
You want AMC?
No.
You want to donate?
No. Take my money. Give me my ticket.
Right. Holding me hostage. I'm late. This movie's about to start in half an hour after 8 trailers. which admittedly I want to see the trailers, but I mean, they get so poor. I'm like, all right, let's start the goddamn movie. It's a big ass theater.
It's huge.
Down there
only,
in downtown.
Only one entrance, so if you want to get in a couple free flicks.
Very easy.
By all means.
Very easy. And the place is so big. You know what? I've always theorized that the place is so big, they don't care if you want a movie hop, because they probably figure if you're going to be there for 4 or 6 hours, you might get hungry.
Yeah. Might get some overpriced popcorn.
You might go get a $10 bucket of popcorn or a $15 glass of air.
Yes.
You know, they have the finest air downtown.
They
Disney.
Do.
You know, they filter that shit.
Nine times.
Thrice cubed.
Thrice cubed filtered.
Thrice cubed filtered Disney water with mouse ears on it.
Mm-hmm.
Trademarked, registered with a circle, the R with a circle. The theater itself.
It's pretty nice.
It's nice. Big leather seats.
A little bit too big, though. They blocked the bottom of the screen.
Too fucking big.
They blocked the bottom of the screen.
What's that all about? You know what I think it's all about? We're anticipating, for some reason, every single screening being full.
Mm-hmm.
If people were sitting in the seats in front of us, then
they'd be back a bit.
It would be back a bit because they're meant to recline. Then it wouldn't be blocking the bottom of the screen. But because we saw a movie that no one's there to see, Snowpiercer, you know, people go see Snowpiercer. It's
awesome.
Great. The very, very bottom of the chairs were touching the very we could see on our sight line, the bottom of the screen. It's like the seats just aren't stadium seating enough. It's halfway between stadium seating and normal old school seating.
But the seats are very comfortable.
Very comfortable. And they do the thing where all the seats are curved. So even if you're sitting on the edges, you would still get a pretty good view of the screen. So projection was fine.
Yeah.
I thought the screen might have been stained.
Really? I couldn't tell.
Was it that movie? I can't remember. And although it was a fine enough theater. It is an AMC.
Yeah.
It was a dine-in thing, but I didn't see in our seats. Did you see any buttons there?
Nope.
Because I've been in other theaters. There's one in New Jersey, the Menlo Park Mall. There's an AMC dine-in there. That's the first time I've ever seen one of the dine-in things. And it's solely like, you know, the AMC version of the Enseon. They got the button there. You can call over a person to take your order. Like a table thing comes up out of the middle, like you're on the airplane or something. The fucking seats recline like Lazy Boy style with leg rest things that pop up. They're crazy.
That's awesome.
I remember seeing my Les Mis with my family there like a Christmas, couple Christmases ago. Mm-hmm. And my parents put their feet up in the seats. And I was like, Dad's falling asleep.
Yep, Dad fell asleep.
It's like, I'm going to have to listen for the snore so I can jab him with the elbow in the wrist.
Yo, Pops, wake up.
I don't care if you're sleeping.
But just don't snore in the theater.
Yeah, you can sleep during this fucking movie. I don't give a shit, but you're snoring, Pops. Yeah. Let me come on. They didn't have that. But they still have. When we were walking in, we saw the matinee, so I really didn't smell much food. But when we were walking out, the smell of like fried food was in the air.
Yeah.
So fried, I could smell the chicken tenders.
Sweet.
It's like, I know they're here. They're here somewhere. I love those.
Chris wants them.
I did want them. I was like, but I don't have $80 or a
for four
line
tenders.
Or a line of credit for four tenders and half an ounce of honey mustard.
Mm.
But yeah, so the theater was okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Downtown Disney. It is a downtown Disney.
I've been in worse.
Much worse. Much, much worse. If you do go down there, you know what's cool? If you can go down there, if possible, if you're going to be at Downtown Disney, you might as well kind of make an afternoon out of it. You can go see a movie.
There's a bunch of stuff
to do. There's a bunch of shit to do. Right next to it is a bowling alley, a really cool bowling alley. Yeah, have you been inside that thing?
Yeah.
It's fucking all the kind of retro thing going on.
There's a bunch of places to eat over there,
bunch
too.
Bunch of places to eat. They got the Congos, Gloria Stefan's Congos. And if you don't want to go inside to eat, they got a little window there. Yeah. And you can get some little tiny Ana de Papas, you know?
So sweet.
Where's the Papa de Ana? I always mix that too high. And if you go down, if you wind around the way, Earl sandwiches. Have you ever been to Earl sandwiches?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. So, there you go. That's our movie theater review. We'll try to do more of them. We'll try not to
number two.
To do them.
Number two? That's number two. That's our second one we ever
did. Yeah, this is our second one. Now we had like a list. I thought you had a list in front of you. Scared me for a second. Okay, I know we got a couple more questions on here. I think it's on, I got to go to this, my Crespediso Twitter account. Because we got a couple from Rage Against Twit. Said us a few things. I think you might find this very interesting, Drew. We got a new Sherlock Holmes movie coming out.
Okay.
It's called Mr. Holmes. And, here we go here. I'll just show you the picture of who our next Mr. Holmes is going to be. This person tweeted, over 70 actors have previously played Sherlock Holmes. Now he's 93 years old, and it's my turn. #MrHolmes
Ian McKellen. That's awesome.
Ian McKellen's going to be...
Magneto is Gandalf, is Sherlock Holmes.
Dr. Magnets himself is going to be Sherlock Holmes. But not just any Sherlock...
Wizard Dr. Magnets.
Wizard Dr. Magnets is going to be a 93-year-old Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. So he's actually...
Playing the part.
I actually read up on what Mr. Holmes is going to be. It's sort of like he's... losing his memories, you know, it's just, you know, age has gotten to him, is starting to get the best of him, and he's trying to, like, recount stuff to, like, someone that works in his house or whatever, so it'll be, I'm looking forward to seeing where, how this turns out. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, for you and Mikel.
Sweet.
And then Rage Against Twit sent this with the question, is this art or self-indulgent bullshit? It's like, that's an intriguing question.
I'm pretty sure all art is self-indulgent bullshit.
Not all art. Yeah, all art is. No, not all art, because some of it is indulging other interests, like corporate interests and commercial interests and stuff. This is from thefilmstage.com. The longest film ever made receives a 72-minute trailer.
So the trailer is as long as a regular movie.
Pretty much. The movie itself... Actually, I'll just go ahead and read this article. It's an interesting little article. I'll just read the whole thing. It was only a few years ago that we reported on the longest film ever made, the 10-day-long Modern Times Forever, coming from Danish artist Superflex. That's always a bad sign when you're going to see a movie by a director, and the director's name...
Superflex.
It's something like Superflex. McGee. Pitoff. You know who directed Catwoman? Pitoff.
If you say so.
You know who directed the Charlie's Angels movie? McGee.
Sweet.
Just one name. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad. Swedish artist and filmmaker Anders Wiberg?
I don't know.
I got the Anders part right, though. He is now out to claim the record with his upcoming project, Ambiance, running 720 hours, which is 30 days. It won't premiere until 2020, but he's now released the first trailer, which clocks in just under the length of a regular feature. Only available until July 20th. What they say? Today's the 13th. Only available for next week. The 72-minute preview highlights what is described as, quote, space and time intertwined into a surreal, dream-like journey beyond places.
If the movie's 30 days long, then yes, it is self-indulgent bullshit.
Wait. Just to confirm the self-indulgent bullshit part. Said to be, quote, an abstract, non-linear narrative summary of the artist's time spent with the moving image.
Self-indulgent bullshit.
So, yeah, I'm gonna have to go down with self-indulgent bullshit. Although, I do like this last part here. Wiberg indicates it will be his last film. Thank God. And after a single global screening... in all continents of the world in 2020, it will be destroyed.
Sweet.
So there you go.
Yeah. Self-indulgent bullshit.
Yeah, we both agree on that one. And Rage Against Twit also sent a pretty good Steven Soderbergh interview at Esquire.com. So I would definitely recommend people go to Esquire.com and check out the interview because it's good. It's pretty good. And again, let me double check here. Let's see if... question from Billy
Lost D. in the fourth dimension.
Again, if you see Billy D in the fourth dimension, face space screaming through space, tell him we're looking for him.
Yep.
All right, well, hey, that brings us to the end of the show. So episode 79 was a good one. It's still 0-0.
Yeah.
So we didn't miss too much. We can watch the rest of this game.
Sweet.
And we thank you guys for listening very much. We really appreciate it. Remember, tell your friends, share us, love us. We appreciate it. And we'll be back next week, episode 80. And with a guest I'm definitely hoping for. We're going to have a pretty sweet guest. Drew, thank you very much.
Very welcome, sir.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll be back.
check 3-4. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Check 5-6. Check 7-8. Check 9-10.
Where's the music? Where's the music? There we go. Hey, welcome to the show. 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 Show. Chicka chicka. Do bow bow. All right, it's two different songs.